There's a lot of things that can go wrong when an area becomes deindustrialized. Sherry Lincoln and John Russo, two prominent scholars in working class studies, have written several books and articles about this topic. And at this point, they find you can easily make a list of what will happen when industry leaves. Let's run down it. In most cases, there's a decline in population, a loss of jobs, a loss of homes, a loss of healthcare, a reduction in the tax base, and therefore cuts in public services. There's usually an increase in crime, depression, suicide and drug and alcohol abuse. You'll find more instances of family violence and divorce, and a loss of faith in public institutions. And as the landscape decays and buildings crumble, there's even a loss of personal identity. It's not a pretty picture. So how has it been painted in Weirton? I went to talk to one of my middle school teachers, Melanie Donafy. She's been working in the Hancock County school system for 29 years.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
What's new?
I wanted to know how she's seen the area change from a teacher's perspective.
You hate to say the culture of the students and the backgrounds of the students, but that's the biggest change I've seen, because they were used to having everything handed to them by the mill, you know, their parents a job, their grandparents a job, and that's not there. Economically, that's been the biggest change. Right now, we're in elementary school having that many students. We have over 60% of free and reduced lunch.
In January 2018, the Hancock County School District began providing all students with free breakfast and lunch through funding from the federal government. Melanie told me that Weirton Elementary School has a backpack program that gives the very low socioeconomic students ramen noodles or macaroni cups to take home with them.
It breaks your heart to see that, you know, and you know that they're going to get a hot lunch, and you know they're going to get breakfast, but they leave at 3:30. When are they going to eat again?
Melanie says that in addition to kids having less, she's also noticed that there's a lot less kids.
Look at Brook High School and Weir High School. I mean, my graduating class was 347. I mean, you're lucky if you've got 347 in three classes now. I mean, last year they graduated less than 150. So that, I mean, that right there speaks volumes that there aren't any people here.
While a decline in the student body can be disappointing, the rise of opioids and their impact on students who remain is much more disturbing. The city of Weirton and Hancock County as a whole haven't been hit as hard by opioids as, say, somewhere like Cabell County. But the area is far from unscathed.
I've had a student this year that actually saved his mother's life. She overdosed. And he called 911. And they were able to give her Narcan and she was okay. So, I mean, that's a 10-year-old. 10-year-olds shouldn't have to deal with that.
In 2002, only one Hancock County resident died from a drug overdose. The numbers have risen ever since. According to the West Virginia Health Statistics Center, between 2013 and 2017, the amount of drug overdose deaths a year in Hancock County per 100,000 residents was nearly three times more than the national average.
The kids are the ones that are suffering because their parents don't have, and it's because they don't have the mill to rely on anymore.
Like many who have lived in Weirton for a while, Melanie remembers when the mill was a reliable safety net.
But they were always there for us. And I think the community really got used to that, that they would do anything. You know, I'll go ask Weirton Steel. Go ask them for a donation. Then they'd flip you some money. You know, can't do that anymore. You know, so, and basically the benefit of them being here was there were jobs, you know, for our parents, and not minimum wage jobs, good paying jobs.
Hancock County's unemployment rate has fluctuated a lot over the last two decades. After a low of 3.8% in 2001, it peaked at 13.7% in February 2010, following the Great Recession. It's been creeping down ever since, coming to just under 6% this past January. Still, according to a 2017 report by the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, about one in every four jobs in Hancock County offers low wages, amounting to $1,250 a month or less. While we were talking, her mom, Jerry, walked into the room. She's lived in Weirton her entire life and was a tin flopper at Weirton Steel in the 50s.
Yeah, I was telling how you worked the mill and flopped tin.
Oh, yeah. I was there almost 5 years.
I asked her how she's seen the area transform, and for her, the most noticeable difference is the loss of small businesses.
To look and see how the businesses they're gone. Wise Burgers, Randy and Tinny, The Smart Shop.
5 and 10.
Rivotto's Jewelers, 5 and Dime. No more theaters. And it's just so changed, you know. Buildings gone and something else in them now. It's just crazy.
I knew the change she was talking about. It was one of the reasons I dislike Weirton. The last time downtown Weirton got a facelift was when the J.J. Abrams movie, Super 8, was filmed here in 2010. Production crews repainted buildings and covered up the blight, literally bringing Main Street back to life. Everyone came together to help the film crew. I was lucky enough to be an extra. It brought back a sense of community that hadn't been felt for a long time. I decided to go downtown to Weir Cove Taxi, more often known as the Weirton Bus Terminal. It used to be a stop for Greyhound buses, but they stopped picking up passengers there decades ago. There's a luncheonette inside where you can grab coffee or a burger and fries. I figured I might find some people there who could talk about the decline of the area, and I was right. It's a bit dingy on the inside. The ceilings are lined with yellowed fluorescent lights and mismatched panels, some dark green, some white, a few broken. The fridge behind the counter hummed like an unbalanced fan, and the old box TV sitting on top of it played endless commercials. You could occasionally hear some electric bells ringing from the video lottery machines in the back room. The first person I spoke with was Chip Ray. He's a lifelong Ohio Valley resident and has been working at Weir Cove Taxi for 5 years as the director of safety. He helps hire new drivers and manage operations. I started asking him how he's seen the area change, and everyone wanted to chime in.
And this street in general, just Main Street down here in Weirton, every building had something in it, a restaurant, a store. All the houses up on Weir Avenue and these little houses built on the hillside were all built for people working in that mill. And now a lot of them are abandoned now. Like I said, it's a direct manifestation of that mill, this area right now in the state that it's in. Without having that there, walk down the street. There's a lot of empty buildings, a lot of empty houses.
I asked him if he had been affected by the opioid epidemic. And I got the answer I was expecting.
It's a serious epidemic around here. I know a lot of people that were impacted by it. People that I know, people that I graduated with, people that I went to college with. A lot of them, I can name 10 people that have died from opioids or heroin that I graduated with or was close to my age. That's a shame. It's terrible. It's really impacting the area.
We kept on talking, and soon the subject switched to how the taxi company was still in business. Chip explained that the natural gas industry has helped with their diversification.
We have cabs, but our trucks are water trucks. They're not here at the cab stand. They're at our garage in Steubenville. But that's the future of the area around here because the steel mills, I don't see the steel mills coming back. And so you got to do something. So that seems to be the big industry around here. And it employs, I know we alone employ about 40 truck drivers that work for the oil and gas, you know, the water trucks. They all need water.
A woman named Ashley Schaefer listened to our conversation from behind the counter. Her family moved here from Charlotte, North Carolina in 1997, when she was still in high school. I turned to her next. She explained it was a lot easier to find employment when she was younger.
So when I was 23, I was working at Williams Country Club up on Marlin Heights. Yeah, I mean, work was good then. And now it's just like, you can barely find a job. I personally, myself, I don't like it. Going from Charlotte, where there's absolutely everything and anything you could do, you know what I mean? Hot air balloon rides, everything, to coming up here to half of my friends that I graduated with are passed away or hooked on some sort of drug. It's just not what it used to be.
Ashley and her parents originally moved away from Charlotte to escape the city's crime problem. Now, she's considering moving back because there's more opportunity there for her son.
But I have a 13-year-old son, and honest to God, like, I think about moving back down to Charlotte because I don't want him around this area. Like, he's at the age right now, he can go either way, you know what I mean? Yes, kids experiment stuff, and they do things growing up, that's just the way that it is, but I want him to have a good life, and I want him to be able to go to school and college and have a family, you know what I mean, and be comfortable, not struggle.
As we were talking, another woman walked in.
So there's Diane. Diane, want a cup of coffee, baby?
Hey, what?
Diane knows a lot about the mill and the people that... I mean, you worked here for 15, 16 years. She knows, about how the business is. She's trying to graduate.
Why don't you let her talk? Okay. Shut up.
Diane Calandros is a very straightforward woman. She worked in the cab stand for 17 years, but had to stop after she was recently diagnosed with cancer. Diane told me the town still holds a special place in her heart, even though she doesn't hope for much.
I love Weirton. I mean, I really do. I love Weirton. It's just that when the mill went down, it's like everything faded. It's like it'll never, ever be like it was. Never. And that's sorrowful. From around here, it really hurts your heart.
Do you have any hopes for Weird?
No. Not at all. I'm 66 years old. What the hell can I hope for?
The two men sitting near the door, who periodically added on to the conversation, were, at this point, waiting for me to walk over to them. Jimmy Colalella helps with clerical work for his brother, who owns Weir Cove Taxi. He thinks the area's decline can be attributed to a lack of diversity in the local economy.
It relied heavily on that industry, the steel mill. You know, it's like with anything in life, you got to have, you know, balance, diversity. And, you know, people didn't have the vision, so... That's why you see, you know, maybe not everybody prospering here like people used to prosper.
Henry Valentine is a non-emergency medical transport driver for Weir Cove Taxi. He helps recovering drug users get to Suboxone appointments. I asked him what he hopes for Weirton.
Well, just to get more jobs, get more work, you know, more opportunities so people can do things besides be on drugs and opioids.
Someone else I spoke with was a woman named Joan Sims. She kept to herself at a table in the back corner of the luncheonette. Joan used to work across the river at the Wheeling-Pittsburgh Mill in Steubenville, but she's lived in Weirton her entire life. She pointed out that not everything about the decline is bad.
The best thing that ever happened on Weir Avenue was all the bars went out. But that was the best thing ever happened. It was a bar here, next door. That was more bars in this town probably than two towns, three towns. Yeah. But when the bars went out, you could tell there was no money.
While she was happy the bar scene faded, she was upset about the amount of people attending church in the city.
Churches don't have nobody. Her church went down to 10 people. And it used to be, we lived on County Road. We used to be lines of cars up and down County Road going to church. Now, where is God today? What have they done with him? We don't hear about it. Churches are closing. It's gone.
Even though everything has changed so much, and the good times can only be felt through memories, there's still an attachment that's hard to let go of. Today, the Weirton bus terminal lives on as a reminder of what it used to be. A bustling diner filled with regulars and mill workers grabbing a bite before their shift began. And this is what seems to keep people around, even when there isn't hope for the future. It's what's familiar that matters, like the same comfort you get when coming home. I don't think you can blame anyone for longing for that. Although not everyone in Weirton will share the same views as the people I spoke with, I think it's apparent where their opinions come from. In the next episode, we'll explore what's in store for the future of Weirton.